Good afternoon and welcome. You are listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. Well, it's Turncoat Tuesday. It's the ninth day of May, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in star 6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me a little bit. Well, it's currently 63 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 71 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and it's just a beautiful day. I haven't looked. They could have started chemtrailing, but last time I looked, it was a beautiful day. That being said, let's look at what we're going to jump into here today. An emergency alert declared at nuclear facility in Washington. Evacuation ordered. No fly zone in place. And we're going to jump into this as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFT.
Some stuff they said were cool, yeah. But nothing seemed to light my fuse. But it's all in the past, like the check that's in the mail. She was a tall whiskey glass. I was an old hound dog that just loved to chase his tail.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, emergency alert declared at nuclear facility in Washington. Evacuation ordered. No fly zone in place. This is from Zero Hedge. It was sent in by number one New World Order hater for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. According to KING-TV, a tunnel in a plutonium finishing plant collapsed in Hartford early Tuesday morning. The tunnel was full of highly contaminated materials, such as hot radioactive trains that transport fuel rods. As breaking 9/11 reports, some workers were being evacuated while others were advised to shelter in place. The Hartford Fire Department is on scene and updates will be posted as they are available. Workers in the vicinity are still being sheltered as a precaution. From the U.S. Department of Energy, the U.S. Department of Energy, DOAE, Richland Operations Office activated the Hanford Emergency Operations Center at 8:26 a.m. after an alert was declared at the 200 East area. There are concerns about substances in the soil covering railroad tunnels near a former chemical processing facility. The tunnel contained contaminated materials. Actions taken to protect site employees include facility personnel have been evacuated. As a precaution, workers in potentially affected areas of the Hanford site have gone indoors. Access to the 200 East area of Hanford site, which is located in the center of the Hanford site, has been restricted to protect employees. Update 1, a robot bot is being used to sample the contaminated air and soil in the area around the collapse. Update 2, an aerial survey mid-morning Tuesday showed an opening of about 20 feet by 20 feet into the tunnel, which has been covered with about 8 feet of soil. The breach could expose the highly radioactive material disposed in the tunnel, disposed of in the tunnel to the atmosphere. No airborne radiation has been detected as of about 10:30 a.m. Radiological surveys continuing. And I just throw that out there. I mean, I guess our infrastructure is falling apart in a big way. But hey, man, I'll tell you what, some Chinaman can take it over, and I'm sure it'll be better. Let's see what we got here on the top. California may end ban on communists in government jobs. Oh, I thought they did a whole long time ago. I couldn't believe there's no ban. What are you talking about? You know, they had held their conventions, or they hold their communist conventions up there in Chicago. Hell, they're out on the streets of Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States. So, you know, with their hammers and sickles and proclaiming their communist revolution here in the United States. So I don't know why this should be of such an excitable content. From Sacramento Bee, it was sent in by Shalom for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Being a communist would no longer be a fireable offense. Well, why should it be in a communist state? I mean, California has made it clear that it is, it, you know, it's separated from the rest of us, and it's going full-blown communism. And that is until we have to go down there and clean those bastards out. Fireable offense for California government employees under a bill passed Monday by the state assembly. Lawmakers narrowly approved the bill to repeal part of a law enacted during the Red Scare of the 19... Was it just a Red Scare? Was it all just hype and no real substance to it? Or were them goddamn communists invading after all? Red Scare of the 1940s and 50s, when fear that communists were trying to infiltrate and overthrow the United States government was rampant. God damn it, should be rampant. Now, wait, fear, hell, they're there, proclaiming it every day. The bill now goes to the Senate. It would eliminate part of the law that allows public employees to be fired for being a member of the Communist Party. And I love where they go into this bullshit. Into this, what they're trying to make a gray area out of a straight line through the black and the white. Employees could still be fired for being members of organizations they know advocate for overthrowing the government by force or violence. Well, what the hell is the communist movement? I mean, go look at it. We'll go look right now. They're advocating for the overthrow of the United States through violence, force of violence. They're doing it on the streets, from what I can see. What's been coming in. Hardcore communists right out on your streets. You know, beating on people, killing people. But I mean, yes, sir.
Who was that congressman that tried to warn us like 30 years ago? Was that McCarthyism that went in there and told them we were being taken over by communists, and they just laughed him and crucified him? What was that senator or congressman's name?
That was old Tail Gunner Joe McCarthy.
Yep,
exactly. Well, I know. Well, you know, like Reagan, he was arrested back in that shit. And again, I mean, I can't remember just how it was manipulated to get him out of it. But then he became the president. I mean, hell yes. And not to mention the Vietnam War and the Korean War. Now, what were those wars for? I got to think back. I mean, past what a head of cabbage could think. That was to stop the spread of international communism. And like I said, now they're holding their conventions right there in Chicago. Hell, it's out in the goddamn open. They try to act like employees could still be fired for being members of an organization they know advocates for overthrowing the government by force of violence. What the hell is communism?
Hey, Henry.
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is Dion again, the black guy.
Hey, brother, how's it going?
is going well, man. But let me ask you this. How can they do all that when we already under the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto already?
Well, absolutely. This is just more of the revealing it. And before they've been going around for quite a while and saying, yes, well, you were communist. You know, you had Bernie Sanders up there. Oh, he's a socialist. Well, you know what? Socialism, communism, any kind of ism.
All the same.
Exactly, man. And we're supposed to be a republic with an emphasis on the rights of the individuals. Any collectivism, socialism, communism, any collective, form of government is an exact opposite of what we're supposed to have. So it has to be a usurpation. It's evident that this cannot be in the United States. You are trying to overthrow the government. If you're trying to bring in collectivism, you're trying to destroy the foundation of this country, which is supposed to be a republic with an emphasis on the rights of the individual. You can't have individualism and collectivism. They are oxymorons. They are direct opposites. But, I mean, it's coming to the point. I mean, they've been throwing it out there, and, you know, just like these people being allowed to come out in the streets, like I think it's in New Orleans, where they've been, tearing down the Civil War monuments. And people have come out to contest them. And then when the communists go out and start attacking people, cutting them, what might have you, the police stand there like, geez, golly, we don't want to get involved in this free speech. But when somebody turns around and busts one of them in the nose, oh, man, it's just what we've been telling you here all along. It's just like the border. If you went down there to stop the invasion, you are in the right. You got the right to stop an invasion in your goddamn country, but make no mistake. Those posing as your government, this occupation, those guns will turn on you, and they will be backing the invaders coming in. And people need to get this through their head. I mean, people are still living.
You know what, Henry? You're 100% right about that. Because you want to know, this is what kills me. You have people out here who worship the enforcement arms. You know what I'm saying? They worship the police. I mean, seriously, but they're the ones who oppress you every day.
Oh, absolutely.
This is the sick cowards that we have in society.
Absolutely.
They don't understand. Those people are really your enemy.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They're institutionalized into the worship of authority. It's served
yes,
them
they
very
are.
Well. But what has caused this is, I mean, it has been a nationwide program to elevate the ignorant. I mean, if you're ignorant and will go, I mean, if you're a person that's of lesser quality on an even playing field, you're not going to rise. You're going to find your station. But they have absolutely took the people who would be the culls of this society and elevated them. And they're the only ones that have any wealth left in this country. And it's the people you see on Fox and CNN. I mean, these goddamn retards. Oh, I think the government should do this. I mean, you don't think at all, or you would realize this is not the government of for and by the people you were guaranteed. And they'll come right out and tell you, like with this shit, openly, oh, yeah, this is communism over here, fascism over here. Which side are you on? Well, I'm on the side that wants to exterminate both of you bastards and get you out of my country. I'm on the side of a free republic with an emphasis on the right of the individuals. I'm on the side of the Bill of Rights and the common law.
Hell, get them out of the country. Get out of my goddamn wallet.
There you go. That would be a good start. But it's, you know, it's like the first invasion of this country. We're financing our own destruction. I mean, what did they really do? The Europeans came here. They got a beachhead. This is a huge country. But the peoples across this country are all self-interested. The individual tribes of Indians were all self-interested, and they were conquering each other and killing each other and enslaving each other. And they didn't see the threat that was right. I mean, the real threat that was going to put them all out of business. Or they would have come together and there would have been a real fight of it. But I divide and conquer, and then you, like I said, they make a beachhead, and they use the resources of this country to finish conquering it. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. Our throats are being cut with the knives we forged with our own hands. And now you have them right out in your face. Yes, we're communists, and we're here, and this is a legitimate thing to have in your country. I'm telling you, when I was young, goddamn, you called yourself a communist. You better be running when you said it. Somebody's going to try and kill you. Walk into any place and say, oh, start advocating for communists. I've talked about my cardiologist before. I've known him for like, goddamn, 22, 23 years. And, a cardiologist, you know, he's a pretty smart fella. He's been, he's got degrees. But, it was a long time ago, and I got into the conversation about communism. And he said, man, he goes, when I first, I guess he got into high school is what he was saying. And, you know, he went there and I guess he was in a city or somewhere with a lot of idealism flowing around. And he came home and told his dad about this great thing called communism. his dad backhanded him, knocked him clear across the goddamn room, and came in and he explained communism to him. And it stuck. And that's the way we, I mean, if you think about it, it wasn't that long ago, people. I mean, it's getting up to, you know, I was, the Vietnam War ended in 1975, and I think I was about 13 or 14 years old, boy, and just, you know, my two of my brothers went, and we're going to go kill a commie for mommy, man. Go clear across an ocean to kill a commie. We hated goddamn communists. There ain't nothing lower and worse than a goddamn communist. Look what they're going to do to us. Look at the propaganda they pumped at my generation to get us to go over there and die for bullshit, to die for money. And then the generation before that in Korea, over there fighting the spread of international communism. And now, it, like, you know, Flea brought up, Joe McCarthy, you know, came out with, you know, he's seen it. God damn, it was evident that they had infiltrated into the government way back in the 40s and 50s. Of course they had. J.D. covered the fact that during the World War that we were, you know, sending the nuclear secrets that we were uncovering, sending materials over to Russia to build that communist threat, to make it a big threat so we could spend $5.5 billion during the Cold War on these nuclear weapons because, God damn, better to destroy this goddamn planet than to see it go to communism, because communism is a horrid thing. Look what happened to the Russians from 1917 to about 1940 or 50. Look what about 60 million people murdered. And look in the 1960s with Mao Zedong and the Cultural Revolution. 250 million people killed under communism. And all this time, for the last, you know, 10, 20 years, they've been trying to ramp up this thing. The threat is these Muslims. Don't forget communism. That nobody even knows what that is anymore. Don't even think about those communisms. The threat here we got to face is ISIS and Al-Qaeda. You know, the CIA agents that have been formed into groups over there to work as insurgents in the Middle East. That's the people. They're all over the world. The threat is radical Islam bullshit. Radical Islam is like a flea compared to a vulture in difference in size. International communism helped create this fantasy we call radical Islam. It'll be a tool they'll use, make no mistake about it. A tool to divide.
Harry.
Go ahead.
Hey, you know, when you try to tell people that, you know, the United States and the CIA created, you know, the Mujahideen, ISIS and all their groups in 1979, it was called Operation Cyclone, They look at you like you have like a stick stuck to your face.
Oh, I know.
They don't believe it.
Yeah, but the thing is, the Mujahideen, I mean, that means holy warrior in the Afghan language. But you know what Al-Qaeda means?
Toilet, I think.
It means the list. It is the list of their agents. That's what Al-Qaeda was. I mean, Saddam Hussein, 35 years on the CIA payroll. Osama bin Laden on the CIA payroll. It was definitely, I mean, even in the mainstream, I mean, bulking it, that's kind of ridiculous. It's been right on the mainstream Fox News and other broadcasts just lately. Talking about, you know, everybody's pissed off because they're talking about, well, they're trying to blame it on Obama or trying to blame it on, no, it is the internationals. It is the CIA. It is the Mossad. It is Zion that created Al-Qaeda. And I mean, the proof to the pudding is right there in Syria, man. You go in there and who's fighting who there? Well, what day of the week is it? I mean, it makes 1984 seem like it didn't quite reach far enough. I mean, you got ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, Al-Qaeda. I mean, all of these different so-called, they act like they're factions. And again, you can talk about when we went into Iraq. When we went into Iraq, everybody, I mean, get past the memory span of that head of cabbage and remember when we went back in, when we went into Iraq, I mean, the second invasion of Iraq. Not Bush 1, Bush 2. But when we were going in, man, and everybody was glued to their TVs, eating their popcorn, eating their candy, man, cool, man, this is an attack. We're going to want some people get killed. We're going to get them goddamn Arabs. Get them, GW. Remember the friendly Shias along the way, people?
Shocking awe.
Oh, buddy. And the friendly Shias were greeting us and helping our soldiers. They were our allies in this. They were the ones that were going to take over the Iraqi government from that evil Sunni regime under Saddam Hussein, who was on the CIA payroll for 35 years. And then once we got there, We did. We put the Shias, the friendly Shias, we gave them tanks. We gave them personnel carriers. We gave them a goddamn a fitted out army. And as soon as we pulled back, those friendly Shias, they got down off of those tanks and out of those personnel carriers, and they went inside and they took off that desert camel and they put on black outfits. And they came out the door and they were radical Shiite Muslims again. They were ISIS and ISIL and Daesh, and boy, they're chopping heads off. Now we have a real problem. And they've got an army somewhere. Man, they're a goddamn threat. Look at all that modern equipment we gave them. I can't believe that people, I mean, that, but there are still people, I mean, if they're wantonly stupid at this point in the ball game. But I mean, not to see it for exactly what it is. I mean, even what we're looking at today, we got one article here talking about Trump we need to go back into Afghanistan. We've been there like, 16 years? I don't know what the hell the number is up to now. But I mean, this impossible number, we laughed at the Russians as they were being, the Soviet Union was being destroyed. Their substance aid out in the quagmire known as Afghanistan. And now it's happening to us. We're going to go there and win. We're going to win, guys.
At least the Soviets were smart to pull.
Yeah, well, they got out. But you know, that is accredited with breaking up the Soviet Union, breaking the bank. Because you had the Cold War going on where they tell us that we put up 5.5 trillion in those days dollars. How much money is that in today's dollars? And the Russians had to match that plus Afghanistan. I mean, it just bled them. We went over there and we armed them with the shoulder-held SAM missiles, surface-to-air missiles. And, it came down to simple math. You know, a $7 million helicopter taken down by a $7,000 shoulder-held missile. It was just a matter of economics, and that's all it is right now.
It was a dope war.
Of course. I mean, I want to hit that article here in a minute, but it talks in that article about the fact that, you know, what we need to do is go in there and just really get it down. What you're doing is you're backing the people, one the Afghan people hate. And the negotiation, if you ever get out of there, will be, the poppy fields will be maintained, the flow of heroin into South America, and then up through Mexico and into the United States, onto our streets, will continue. Or we'll come back here and we'll kill the rest of you. That's how it works. Anyways, we're talking about this. California may end the ban on communists and government. May end the ban? Do you believe there's anybody in that government that ain't a communist would be a better thing to look at. Some assemblymen, Republicans, said the Cold War era laws should not be changed. Assemblyman Randy Vopel, a Southern California Republican who fought in the Vietnam War. Boy, I bet you that guy's a little put out, don't you think? I went over there and watched all my friends get their legs blowed off, their faces blowed off. I seen the most horrible things you can imagine. We were over there, to stop the spread of international communism. That's why I had to be drafted and taken over there by force to kill people I didn't know and be killed by those people, because we're going to stop that goddamn communism from spreading. And now here he is looking at this. I mean, this guy's got to be livid. Said communists in North Korea and China are still a threat. North Korea and China, how about Washington, D.C., my friend? This bill is blatantly offensive to all Californians, said Assemblyman Travis Allen, a Republican who represents a coastal district in Southern California. Communism stands for everything that the United States stands against. And I bet this really is offensive to Californians. And I bet there's a lot of Californians who have tuned in to the word from the trenches and come onto the site from the trenches, worldreport.com, and we've told them this shit over and over again. Oh, no, man, the goddamn tinfoil hat people, communists in the United States, get real. Well, now, I guess you just had to face reality along with this fellow who went to Vietnam and watched his buddies get blown up and cut up and killed. And now, to stop the spread of international communism, now there's one sitting right beside him with a smirk on his face getting ready to drive a dagger in him. Well, that's what you get when you're not vigilant and keeping track of what's going on around you. When you just get into that comfort zone thing, 9 to 5, go home, a six pack of beer, a joint, and watch the TV and go to sleep and get up and do it all again. Go ahead, Flea.
When you compromise.
Oh, buddy, that's it. And when you compromise, this is where the compromise ends, people. Kneeling at a ditch, getting ready to get that .40 caliber lobotomy. That's where the compromise ends for you. And, it's just like these gun grabbers, these communists, let's get real, let's talk about who they are. These communists, all we want is it starts out with, all we want is those automatic machine guns and sawed-off shotguns off the street. And where does it end? All we want is that fork, and we'll leave you a spoon. And if we catch you sharpening on that spoon, we're going to take that away from you. And now we got you. Now we have the monopoly on power. We have the guns, and you don't. You people are so stupid. You didn't do it. Russia, you missed it. China, you missed it. Well, I guess you're doomed to repeat history. Get your ass over to the ditch and kneel down.
They're not selfish. All they want is everything you've worked for.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And what, you know what gets me is that the people out there, I mean, you take the average one of these assholes that are going out to these protests right now, and the, you know, here, I mean, it's, I guess it's like, you know, having purple hair. It's a fad. Communism, it's a cool word, man. And you go up to them and ask them, what is communism? I promise you, they can't tell you what it is. And if any one of them does have anything, that would be something like, to each their need, to each their ability. You know, so I don't care if I'm making the system $1 zillion. I only need 3 to live today. And well, the committee can decide to do what the rest of it. You know, the committee up there on the hill, the people's faces who you never see because they're always out enjoying their lives, enjoying luxury as they tell you luxury is a sin in communism. Judge the tree by its fruits. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Let me tell you something. No, I don't want to get you uptight. But if you hit a corner and you can't find
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from thetrenchesworldreport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to fromthetrenchesworldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:37 Pacific time, and that was Nazareth with Expect No Mercy. Expect No Mercy. Look at who you're dealing with. Another drawing for From the Trenches. Swifty Lomax, Jalapeno, and Norm are sponsoring a drawing for From the Trenches World Report. Swifty Lomax is providing a beautiful belt buckle and bola tie that his father handcrafted from petrified wood. Jalapeno is providing a pair of DCU mobile double 30-round magazine pouches for AR-15. Norm is providing a gas mask with filter and bag. The prizes will be drawn for in the order they were received, which is how they are listed. Every dollar donated equals one entry in the drawing. All those who have donated since the last drawing are automatically entered unless they specifically ask not to be. The drawing will be held Friday, May 12, 2017, in the final segment of The Word from the Trenches. We extend our thanks to Swifty Lomax, Jalapeno, and Norm for providing the prizes. All donations are needed and appreciated. Good luck to all those who step up. And here's the article I was talking about. Donald Trump weighing up a troop surge for Afghanistan. I mean, Jesus, people. I mean, I ain't going to drop no bombs. I'm America's president. I ain't that world guy that, you know, I ain't going to take over as world dictator. No, not me. Not Donald. This is from the Telegraph. Donald Trump is reportedly being urged to send thousands more troops to Afghanistan in a bid to break the stalemate in the 16-year war with a third world country. A quagmire that Russia and the great Soviet Union brought them to their knees, and they left because those people are going to live like they want to live. You have to kill every goddamn one of them. Hey, but you know what? A couple of trillion dollars of your tax dollars invested into the opium trade has paid off for a handful of internationals now, hasn't it? And that's what we're talking about. I mean, this is blatant on its face. It was blatant in the beginning. It's been blatant all along. Senior military and policy advisors are proposing to the president a new strategy, which would reverse moves by former President Barack Obama to wind down America's presence in the country. Officials said about 3,000 to 5,000 extra troops, including hundreds of special operations forces, could be deployed, the New York Times reported. The plan would also allow the Pentagon, rather than the White House, to set troop numbers and give the contractors are going to want to get out of these wars, aren't they, and stop the contracts and the flow of, well, no, they're not, they want more war, and you voted for no war. Oh man, you voted for that Republican Party platform, didn't you, retards? The Pentagon, rather than the White House, to set troop numbers and give the military far broader authority to use airstrikes, contract ching ching, to target Taliban militants, according to the Washington Post. Instead of hoping to decisively defeat the Taliban on the battlefield, this is where it really gets interesting. The aim would be to bring the militants to the negotiating table. Militants. That was, the Taliban was the government that was there before, you know, the government that had the opium production down to about 1% in Afghanistan because they were religious fanatics. They didn't believe in dope, which was a good thing for the world. You know, don't get me wrong. If somebody wants to grow them a poppy and harvest the opium for their personal use, it ain't nobody's goddamn business but their own. But what you're doing here is you talk about subsidizing something. You know, the sick part is, you know, you pay for troops to go over there and you beat the Taliban down. You got the poppy fields growing and you got CIA transports hauling the raw opium down to South and Central America. It's being processed into heroin, brought up here on your streets. Now, just keep all that in mind. Now, if somebody goes and buys that heroin, man, you're going to spend some time in a whacking hut prison as a goddamn slave laborer for about 25 cents a day when they're making $25 a day off you. I mean, this is just a racket. Nothing but a racket under even the Racketeering Act that's supposed to, you know, the government taking care of racketeering in the country. But I guess that they're all guilty. The review is an opportunity to send a message that, yes, the United States is going to send more troops, but it's not to achieve a forever military victory. No, you don't want a victory. You don't want none of this shit to end. Remember when George Bush came up and told us we are now at war with an ism? It's a 100-year war, isms. I mean, you're fighting an ism. And, it's going to be war for the rest of the until people, I guess, get sick of killing each other and kill the bastards that are making wars. You don't go to achieve victories. Go ahead.
Hey, I would like to respond on your last statement. You know, I try to tell people that all the time, that they make money hand over fist, and they make money two ways. They make money when they lock you up in the private prisons, yep. And they make money when they put the drugs over here in the street. I try to tell people that all the time.
Well, you look at that so-called Operation Gunrunner. You have the... Attorney General, what the hell was his name?
Eric Holder.
Okay, yeah. So what are you doing? What really occurred there? I mean, they took U.S. taxpayer money, they went down to some gun shops down on the border, and they told the gun shop owners, you're going to violate the law, and you're going to sell crates of guns to these Mexicans who are coming in here, just do it. So the taxpayer money was handed over to the gun dealer, he handed the guns over to the cartel people, you know, the people running guns down to the cartels. And, of course, they never thought about, well, actually tracing the guns, because that wasn't never a part of it. I mean, goddamn it, how stupid do they think we are? But the guns, they go down across the border. They trade them for dope. The dope is brought back up here to the United States by the DEA, because they're in on it, too, because they're trying to see how the whole thing works by doing it. And it's sold on your streets. And the people buying it, well, they're put in the Whack and Hut prison so that they can be slave laborers and make tons of money for the Whack and Hut prison. Meanwhile, the proceeds from the dope, it went back down to Central and South America to be laundered by the banks that launder drug money down there. And it went in, well, somebody's account. And I mean, did they tell you this right to your goddamn face on the mainstream propaganda? And all they have to say, it was an operation. Oh. So if I get busted doing the same, I'll have to say, I was just trying to see how they're doing it because I'm trying to stop it. I'm free.
Here's the kicker. And then they laundered all the money through these banks like Wells Fargo.
Yes.
And stuff. They even got convicted for this.
Yeah.
And paid a fine.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Wouldn't that be nice if you could make about $100 million and pay a $10 million fine and be considered punished? This is the obvious, you know, that's out there, you know, hitting us in the face every day, why people continue. I mean, it's like everything else we're talking about here. It's like you said, compromise. When's this going to get started? I'll tell you when it gets started. When anybody who opens their mouth and tries to, you know, spew some of this shit is shut down right on the spot. There's 10 people right there because we outnumber them 100 to 1. When one person opens their mouth spewing this goddamn bullshit propaganda, lying, fraudulent shit, and everybody turns around and goes, no, son of a bitch, and you know, might even get slapped upside his goddamn head. When it reaches that point, then the people will have had enough than just saying no. And it would have ever took anywhere down the line was just the people saying no. The people just, you know, everybody in the country who's fed up with this shit, don't vote. Go and unregister to vote. Man, if everybody did that who feels the same way we do, I'm telling you right now, it would have ended it a long time ago because they couldn't have had any elections. They couldn't pretend consent. But as long as you got 25% out there, like I said, the morons who have been elevated, not because of their aptitude or their ingenuity, their intelligence, they've been elevated because they'll go along with it, and they got nothing else. That's why our products are shit in this country. You don't have the best people doing the job. You have the people who will go along with the goddamn trees and doing the job, who will advocate for the priest, who will go out and affirm it all for the rest of us. Yeah, we voted, and this is what the only 30. I mean, they're only getting 30% of the population out to vote, and that's their good numbers now. What does that say? That means 90% of the people don't even know that it's bullshit and won't go along with it. But no, I mean, as long as 15% will come out, I mean, what would the number be? What if all the people who voted for Donald Trump, who went out there and fell for that carnival act, had just abstained? I mean, I guarantee you they would have had plenty of these goddamn foreigners coming in. It would have been probably 100 million. It would have probably been the biggest vote ever. But it would have all been fraud right in everybody's face because everybody knew it. Everybody would have been watching. Nobody went out and voted. It's like, you know, trying to pretend that 50% of this country right now, the people support these communist son of a bitches. It ain't true. It's just like at the beginning of the election cycle. When they came out and they had, it was going to be Jeb Bush and it was going to be Hillary Clinton. That was going to be your choice. But Jeb Bush, you know, he came, when he entered the race, you know, he came out and they had him the presumptive winner. Now, before, I mean, right when it was starting, before anybody had ever said a presumptive winner with 46%.
They already told us he had won.
Yes. And the only one that could possibly on this earth that could have beat Jeb Bush would have been Hillary Clinton on the other side, the Clinton dynasty. But then what did, Jeb Bush finally came out and they had to, man, they did not want to pull that card, but they had to. The son of a bitch could only pull 6%. And I got to tell you guys the truth. Without the, I mean, we saw the way that the so-called Democratic Party held their goddamn, primaries. I mean, it was just like, no, well, we've got these super delegates, 500 of them, and it's over. That's it. Not even, you know, showing her true numbers. I guarantee you she wouldn't have polled 6%. Neither one of them. That's 12% of the population, people.
Jeb Bush is so retarded, he needs a nurse to put on his Velcro shoes.
Man, I wanted to, when he finally stepped out, that old, Of Mice and Men, you go back to the old ones where he's standing there with Lenny and, you know, I couldn't figure out how to do it. It was just too much, for me to try to work to do, but, you know, like put the face of George Bush on old George and then on Lenny put, Jeb Bush where he's standing there behind him with the pistol and he goes, tell me how it's going to be, George. He, boom! That's what you're done. You're done. You let us down. At any rate, yeah, I mean, well, of course we want to go into Afghanistan with more troops. You know, since this president, who wasn't going to get going to drop any bombs, he wasn't a war president. I mean, boy, he's sure been dropping some bombs. 59 cruise missiles, the big mother bomb they talk about in this article, the mother of all bombs, I think they call it. And, you know, troops being sent into Syria where, I mean, it is an invasion because we weren't invited there and we're sure as hell not fighting ISIL because, like Mark Kornke points out, 59 missiles. You didn't hit one Al-Qaeda. Who are we fighting there, by the way?
59?
Yeah.
That's all? They sent about 100 or 200 of them over there.
Oh.
59 is the only ones they could count for because all their cheap Chinese paid, transistors and stuff in there that have been sitting around.
Yeah. They assemble them right up here in Washington. I'm sure that, you know, whoever owns that factory. I mean, what you're talking about here is just a whole bunch of goddamn thieves pretending through a fraudulent contracting system they're looting your goddamn country. And now that they have bankrupted the country, they're having the fire sale. This is what, I mean, I seen a flash on the stupid box earlier today about, goddamn, what's it, Kushner, you know, Trump's son-in-law. Having connections to the Chinese bigwigs that are coming in here to buy up our infrastructure. Well, duh. I mean, goddamn. And then, you know, when he was talking about building the wall and stuff, I talked about this before, they came in with, you know, what Trump actually said over here, that was just campaign rhetoric. He's just saying that. He ain't going to do it. And right then and there. But, I mean, they had the report. People seen it. Oh, no, no. Trump comes out and they say, we're building that wall. Yeah, horse shit. And, I mean, like a goddamn billionaire is going to remove the slave labor? Oh, I'm sure that's going to happen. Boy, you fell for that, really. Disgusting.
What do you think's cleaning rooms in the casinos?
Hello. Oh, man, it's sick. Let's see here. Your oil prices are, I mean, you guys have seen your pump prices just diving because it's all about supply and demand, right? I mean, it's $2.69 a gallon up here where the closest place I can buy gas. I mean, it's a monopoly here. They have all decided they'll be at the one penny of each other. But, we've talked about it before, you know, back in the 70s and stuff when it was getting up to 47 goddamn cents a gallon. Sorry, guys, supply and demand. Got a low supply, got big demand. We got to charge you more. And now, you know, we come up to the point where we have a glut. I'm talking a glut of raw material, you know, the sludge goddamn oil that we do manufacture in this country. We have a glut of crude. We have a goddamn glut of diesel. We have a glut of gasoline. And, man, somehow the price just keeps going up.
There's got to be a glut because people can't get jobs, which means they're not driving to work.
See, buddy, okay. That's what people aren't figuring. So you should have been an economist, Flea, because, I mean, that's the deduction I came up with. I mean, how come this thing isn't working for them? Because, you know, when it comes down to it, it will be supply and demand. The bottom line is, goddamn, you've done broke us. You thieving sons of bitches have taken the richest people, the richest consumer base in the world, and you brought us down to pulpers. We just can't even afford your gas at any price. You bring it down to about, oh, $2 a gallon, you'll see the economy pick up. You'll see people moving around doing stuff. Hey, it reaches a point where food, gas, I think I'm going for the food. I last longer. Oil prices drop to six-month lows as hopes fade for OPEC supply cut. And they're out there telling you they're manipulating the international market as they're stealing your raw materials from your country, shipping them out of here. That sweet crude that doesn't pollute the air as bad. I mean, it's a lot easier to manufacture. I mean, hell, people in the United States could be having their gas for 25 cents a gallon. Man, what kind of boom would that cause? You talk about jobs, jobs, jobs. Boy, everybody'd be doing something, wouldn't they? But that would have, like, again, the supply and demand. U.S. West Texas Intermediate WTI crude fell below $45 per barrel for the first time since the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, OPEC, agreed to cut output in November. Brent crude slipped below $47 before staging a modest recovery on Friday. OPEC efforts to cut production encouraged U.S. shale producers to pump more, which is dragging prices down. Well, you've already got a glut. You've got nowhere to store it. But then they have got the export thing going now. We're going to become number one exporter of our raw materials, man. You talk about treason against your country right in your goddamn face. This wasn't no, what do you people feel about this? I mean, you own the resources. No. You plebes, you coolies, you peons, you peasants. You're not stakeholders. Stay back out of the way. We're going to steal your goddamn resources. You're going to pay. We're going to give you three jobs to build the infrastructure over to haul the zillion dollars of your goddamn raw resources, over to China and India and South Korea for production. And we just, you know, covered the other day that the goddamn Saudi Arabians, the number one refinery in the United States, though, what would be the U.S. brand, now belongs solely to Saudi Arabia. And, well, you think, goddamn, that was bad. But, hell, before that, the other owner was the Netherlands, Queen Beatrice. I mean, this is how the whole country's going to go. You're going to turn around and go, and you know, well, hell, I can't even think of a product that hasn't been taken over yet. Chevrolet, well, Ford, well, Chrysler, you know, mom, pa, apple pie, and Chevrolet. Hell, pie, let's go with that. One of the, goddamn, I can't think which one it was, the ones that make Twinkies, Hostess. Oh, yeah, they went down to Mexico. I don't know if you could buy a baseball in this country that was made in this country. And we're going to buy American, and you know, this is one of Trump's, you know, his slogans, his lies that he spewed to the people. And you stupid ass people, you just chased that wiper and did it.
Donald Trump is a ventriloquist dummy, and he has a Jewish hand up his ass moving the lips, which would probably be, what's his, Kushner? I don't know.
Yeah, I got to believe Kushner's right hand smells like Donald Trump's ass. I think you're probably right on that one. But here you have, you know, he was going to be America first. We've seen, I mean, this is supposed to be your number one refinery. Now it's owned by Saudi Arabia. That's an American institution, don't you know? This is what's getting ready to happen to the whole country. They through fraud, they broke our country. And now they're taking the proceeds of their theft and bringing them back into the country, and they're going to buy the country. Well, we just ended up owning everything. Ain't we lucky? Ain't we just lucky? OPEC efforts to cut production encouraged U.S. shale producers to pump more. After a sharp drop, oil prices saw a rebound, with Brent trading at $48.61 per barrel and WTI rising to $45.87. Well, I was paying $2.69 when it was over $50 a barrel. I go down there, it's still $2.69. But I'm going to tell you guys what. They'll get right to the edges when they start to bring it back up. They'll drop it 2 cents. And then when it goes up to $50 a barrel again, it'll go up to $2.70, $3 a gallon, because that's supply and demand, don't you know? When are we going to shove this right down their thieving, lying ass throats?
I'll tell you something funny, Henry. My uncle, we went and gassed up at a gas station one day. And we got up to the gas register, and he said, I want to pay this as fast as I can before the price changes.
I mean, we laugh about it. But do you know, you talk about eating out your substance. I mean, do you get the idea of importing something that you're exporting And as far as raw materials, now tell me how it can be cheaper for me as a consumer for you to bring oil from Saudi Arabia across an ocean and refine it here and sell it to me when I got a pipeline right down there. In fact, when you're unloading that Saudi oil, you're putting American oil, sweet crude, easier to refine, onto the ships and sending it on to Central Asia, you know, and Africa and such places. Now, how can that be good for me? Well, when they talk about this is good for the economy, they're not talking about you and me. We were dismissed a whole long time ago. Right back when they wrote that 14th Amendment, that illegal, unlawful, treasonous, usurpation at this 14th Amendment. We became subjects. And subjects don't have any say in anything. Subjects do not own property. If you're a subject, the clothes you got on belongs to the person you're subjugated to, doesn't it? It's this whole thing of just not even being able to interpret and accept just plain words. They've told you in plain English that they have enslaved you. And you go, well, I still got my right to vote. Really? Well, I guess you should go vote then. And then what? You get a new dictator? It's a different face to look at, I guess so. And his old lady sure as hell looks better than old Michelle Obama did. Oh, for goddamn sure. I guess that's what you get out of it.
At least he doesn't have a penis.
That we know of. And I hope not. Man. The U.S. oil rig count increased for the 15th straight week at the end of April. So they're putting up new rigs. I mean, with this glut, I mean, what do you think the plan is here, people? I mean, if you had a glut of product, just try to put yourself, I mean, it's hard to look at this realistically because we're not living in reality. But look at it realistically. You're making a product. You have a mill, whatever it is, and you've got a glut of it. You can't sell it. So you open up two more mills? What's the plan here, people? The plan is they want to get all of the resource out of the ground. They want to have complete control of every resource. So when they do take this country to the next world war, they will be able to pinch the pipe here, you know, cut the flow off here on an international basis. It won't be like us fighting as a people with inside our own borders, using our own resources, manufacturing our war goods so that we can take it to the enemy. It'll be like, go ahead.
It's a harvesting. That's what it is.
Yes, sir, it is. It'll be like you were talking about earlier. You know, we'd sure like to use some missiles on them, but shit, goddamn, China won't send us the components. Well, because we're fighting China. Hey, man, it's turned out real bad for us, and we told you it was a real good deal, and somehow we'll work this out for you people. Get ready to be slaves. Anyway, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast of the Word from the Trenches. And until then, and like I said, this ends when you start, when people really just get down to, I'm not going to take it any goddamn more. And that is the word from the trenches.